First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello!
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. Postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using, and of course...
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast and YouTube.com/UpNext.
Yes, hello. Welcome, podcast listeners, YouTube, Twitch viewers, whatever, replay viewers. However you're consuming the BDE, let the BDE consume
you. We're grateful.
You.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, it was Canadian Thanksgiving, so
yep.
We are thankful for all of you.
For all of you, and yeah. All of you especially, who go to patreon.com/upnext and subscribe. $5 a month gets you so much. Now, from now on, you can sign up whenever. You could sign up on October the 30th, and whereas before, you'd only have 2 days' worth of material, and then you get charged again. Now, you get a whole month from whenever you sign up.
Yeah.
So we're thankful for those people, and for that option now.
Yeah, be thankful to yourself, and get yourself a gift that keeps on giving. Patreon.com/up.
ProWrestlingTees.com/upnext as well. We're thankful for those people. Someone bought a hoodie the other day.
You know why?
Why?
Because you know what we said last week? We said that...
Buy a fucking hoodie. Is that what we
you
said?
You might want to... If you're a deep Up Next fan...
Oh, this is true.
You may want to sweep up some of our merchandise before it's too late.
Yeah.
That's right. You know what happens when the PWT store goes down? They're going to the Fed.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to New York.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing, too.
Exactly.
It means we might have some new stuff. But
Ribbit.
That's right. That's all we can say. Follow the not-so-white rabbit, but we're working on that part.
Yeah.
So it's Tuesday night, and we watched some NXT, and we're going to talk about it because we are your NXT friends. And it seems like we're running an Airbnb BDE lately because we got friends from all over who were here, who've gone, and now Brandon from New Jersey and John Cena are on our couch now.
It is, yeah.
Well, one's in the Lazy Boy. But.
This is like week three of people.
We're running a hostel here.
We've got people coming next week as well. And our landlord's about to kick us out as well.
That's a great time. So patreon.com/next. So AEW's in town tomorrow night. Some bookkeeping here before we chat about NXT. AEW is making their Canadian debut. And they're showing up at the Coca-Cola Arena on Wednesday and Thursday. If you're listening to this, and it may not be too late, join us for the after party of Dynamite in Toronto at Sneaky D's. Doors will be open at 11, so by the time you leave the arena, by any means, taking the streetcar up Bathurst or taking an Uber, whatever, we'll have wrestling karaoke, wrestling-themed drinks. We got the handshaking team bringing some prizes. We got Demand Lucha giving me tickets to give away to a lucky winner who's looking to go to that show next week. We got a ton of
everyone giving away Rampage tickets.
Come to Rampage. Come to both nights. Sneaky D's after Dynamite. Come hang out. Follow the socials and stuff. Our DMs are open if you need to figure out how to get there, all that stuff.
Yeah. Treat yourself for just $8, which in these days, in this city, $8 for a cocktail is pretty damn good. Treat yourself to a Buckshot Lariat cocktail.
Yeah.
Treat yourself to a Poison Rana cocktail.
Ooh.
Or maybe if you're feeling a little froggy, yeah, ribbit, and you want to kind of just try something, dealer's choice, well, it's AEW theme. We have the Joker as well. Who will be the Joker? What will be the Joker? This was quite a success at our last tailgate party for SummerSlam those years ago, where we had the Royal Rumble shot. We're bringing it back, but we're putting a little All Elite spin on it with our Joker shot.
So when you do a shot, you don't know what you're getting because it's
exactly.
Like the Royal Rumble, like the Joker Rumble. So that's pretty good. What's in the Buckshot Lariat? Because that thing was awesome. You drop a shot of bourbon in a Red Bull.
I believe so. I don't have my phone.
Oh, okay.
Right now,
and then the Poison Rana was just something that sounds delicious. It was like all these different liqueurs.
Oh, we got the Red Rum as well.
Oh, the Red
which
Rum.
It's like spice rum and Fireball.
Oh,
which
shit.
Which is pretty damn tasty as well.
Yeah, so come out, hang out at Sneaky D's. If you're visiting out of town, Sneaky D's is the spot. Get some nachos afterwards and you won't regret it. But we're going to be hanging out, having a ball from 11 to like 2:30 on Wednesday night. And then, if you are going to Rampage, DM us. If you're going to both shows, we will be hanging around the city. We might be checking out the Rhino. We might be checking out a few different spots. So just DM us and let us know.
Our plan is to end up at Local before the show tomorrow. Just look it up. It's in Liberty Village, very close to the arena. We're going to be doing a little bar crawl of our own just before, so hopefully we see as many of you as possible on the way. Have a few drinks with us. You might feel a little sleepy. Head over to Tim Horton, say hello to John and Wei.
Perfect. I'm going to get one with them because I will definitely need it with knowing our days of having fun before wrestling shows. But if you're local and visiting for these shows, we're super excited about that and can't wait. And we have some of our listeners and some of our friends visiting, and some of them are on our couch right now, but we're super, that's the fun stuff for us. Wrestling's a lot of fun. We're super excited for AEW. We will be doing a show sometime on Thursday, kind of maybe chatting about our experience after Dynamite and so forth. But so BD Elite won't be tomorrow night and stuff. But hey, come check out all the stuff. We're going to be having a ton of fun. Follow our socials for updates on all the fun. But it doesn't stop there because, there's some crazy stuff happening in the world of post-wrestling and up next, because we're not only going to Dynamite in Toronto. That wasn't enough. It seems like we're going full gear.
We are going full gear. Yes, it is. We are coming up to the 5th anniversary of Post Wrestling.
Wow.
And, we're celebrating in style because we thought we can only celebrate in, the most beautiful place on earth.
Disney World.
New Jersey.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We will be in Newark at the QXT nightclub. Yes, I got it right. Wow. That was off the top of my head. The QXT nightclub for Post Wrestling's 5th anniversary. John and Wei are doing their live show, and we will also, we're opening. We're the openers. We did such a great job at
Wei's wedding
that we're on hosting duty as well.
Isn't that crazy? He saw how good we were at opening up, getting the crowd all nice and lubricated for his wedding there, and then we're going to do the same thing for John and Wei.
The same thing.
So we're going to be opening for John and Wei in Newark. We're going to be doing a great live show with these guys. This is going to be so much fun. We are beyond honored and humbled to be even a part of this, but post wrestling is forever. And if you're thinking of making the jump, you want the opportunity to hang out with post wrestling and all the listeners, all the fans, this is it. This is it. Jump. Go to Full Gear. Come hang out beforehand.
There's
at this show.
A lot of people coming to this.
We can't even
a
tell
lot
you.
Of the Post family will hopefully be there.
Yeah.
And, if you like our games that kind of blew up during the pandemic.
Up Next Mania.
Up Next Manias or Up Next Summers. If you are someone who is disappointed that maybe there weren't enough videos at Up Next Summer Mania year, now you can see us with your own eyes by going in person. The BD Championship will be on the line in Newark.
We didn't even tell him yet.
He's
hearing it here first.
He's in our company. If we're booking him, we'll strip him of that title. Yes, we are going to be doing one of our games, and we've been wanting to do one of these in person since these kind of started kicking off and growing and things. So we're really looking forward to bring one of these to a really cool nightclub by the looks of it.
Robert Pearson, who is, if you're a longtime Post listener, he's worked with both of us, Post and for Up Next. Robert is just the guy. He is fantastic. And this whole thing seems awesome. And I will say, if you are a huge fan of Post, huge fan of us Up Next, and you are going to Full Gear, no brainer, you're showing up. But maybe you're on the fence of going to Full Gear. Now this got to tip it over to make the trip, because this is going to be a ton of fun. Not only are we going to be hanging out all Saturday doing that show, then probably going to Full Gear. Most likely we don't have a ticket yet, but we'll figure that part out. And then we're going to be in there hanging around in New York and all that stuff. So, this is going to be an absolute trip, especially for anyone who's loving the post-wrestling world, for sure. So I'm so excited about this. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
A live show.
I'm really excited.
Hell yeah. Shout out John Away.
And shout out Brandon from New Jersey. He's just snoring on our
snoring in our
right
background.
Now.
That's 2 weeks of our friends.
Are we that bad? Are we that boring?
Or is it
comfy, that couch?
Yeah, that's all right. He fell asleep.
It better be, because he's sleeping on it all week.
Yeah, he's sleeping on it later too.
Yeah.
He did fall asleep during the bulk of NXT tonight.
Yes.
But he was on a flight, that long
flight from
Philly.
Philly to Toronto.
It's called Brandon from New Jersey, and he doesn't even live in New Jersey. Yeah. What a crook. So yeah, guys, we got a lot going on. And if you're either in Toronto or New York, those two things coming up, and we would love to see you and hang out with all of you. And, I mean, smoke them if you got them. New Jersey, Newark. Let's go. Let's have a fun time, in full gear. Brandon's waking up now. It's fine. So we do other housekeeping stuff. I mean, we're going to be doing so much wrestling watching this week. We're going to Dynamite. We're going to Rampage. We might be the only people going to Rampage because there's nothing advertised except you will hear Judas because Jericho's on commentary.
Yes.
So excited for that. So
but
excited.
You know what? You can also hear Judas at Sneaky D's because we're going to be doing group karaoke for that
song.
Yeah,
Judas will be definitely. Yeah, and Maven's theme.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So that's going to be a ton of fun. I will say, if you are a fan of us, you should check out our Patreon because last week we put out a fantastic array of shows because we did a best match ever, Io Shirai, Io Sky, whatever you want to call her, it's okay. A bunch of chat about her Stardom run and some Lucha Underground featuring Karen Peterson from Post Wrestling and PWI. And we had a hell of a show nerding out over some pro wrestling and the best matches of Io Shirai's career. So that was just a great podcast. And I would love people to check it out because I thought we killed it. All three of us. We just had a great chat.
Absolutely. And while we're on the subject of Karen, I joined her last night for her show Restoros.
Okay.
That's where she has her wrestling friends come on and talks all about Westeros, all about House of the Dragon.
Wow.
I joined her to talk about episode 8 of House of the Dragon last night. And you can find that by going to her YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Karen Peterson.
Excellent. She was fantastic. We definitely got to do that best match ever. Kairi.
It's coming.
Down the 100%. Line. She's down as well. So that was a fun show. Hey, if you like some of our spooky movie reviews, well, we did a review of Hocus Pocus and the new Disney Plus Disney Plus movie, Hocus Pocus 2. We ran amok and chatted all about the Sanderson sisters coming back from the grave. A virgin lit the black flame candle.
One way or another, it was going to come. Yeah. Anyway, wasn't it? It was going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So that's another review up there. But hey, $5 for North American Tier gets you everything. Everything in that back catalog, including all the past reviews, everything going on, including everything else coming up. So go sign up. It's only $5. It does us a lot. We could really use your help and support and love.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a pretty happy day, I'd also say. Happy Blink-182 day, apparently. That just seems what it is now.
Nice.
Mark Hoppus beats cancer, and Tom DeLonge, the aliens told him to get back with Blink, so I guess that's what happened.
Amazing.
And they're back together. They're making new music and they're going to tour. So
tour with Rise Against.
With Rise Against, Turnstiles, awesome. And that tour sounds crazy. So that should be pretty sweet. But yeah, the world seems to be like, all right, that's a good positive. Because Mark Hoppus, a lot of fans were like, it was looking a little hairy there for a second. Mm. And then now, like, it's good news. So that's pretty awesome. And then I was thinking of something. Oh, we were deciding on skipping the show if Iron Maiden tickets dropped. And then it turns out that all these AEW wrestlers are there right now. We're like, could be there right now.
Oh, well, Jericho.
Jericho, yeah, for sure.
For sure, taking everyone along.
Yeah, that would be a fun time.
Awesome.
Before we kind of jump into NXT, some wrestling talk, I tuned into Extreme Rules because I had to follow the White Rabbit. And I mean, as we all kind of assumed, Bray Wyatt showed up. What did you, think of that?
Yeah, I thought the Bray reveal was, I mean, we all kind of knew it was coming, but I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked the way they did it. You had that Triple H signature end of the show stamp in the corner, then the lights flicker. The crowd were awesome. Like, that pop was great. And I thought I thought everything, like this whole build with the QR codes and the way Way has broken it down on Rewind of Raw and SmackDown every week has been very entertaining. I thought it was really well done. Question is now how you follow up with that. And I think that's what's going to be interesting. And I'm definitely going to be interested to see what they do with Bray Wyatt moving forward. And hopefully this time it works because we were there at SummerSlam when he had his Fiend debut. That entrance was
awesome.
And you're like, this is going to be great. And that kind of petered out pretty quickly. We're in a new regime now. Rob Fee, this director of long-term storytelling, is in the company, who's working very closely with Bray. He's apparently been responsible for a lot of these QR code and stuff. Him and Bray, yeah, I'd be really interested to see how this works moving forward. I'm quite excited. But overall, I quite enjoyed the show. I thought the Donnybrook match was awesome.
That was probably my match of the night.
Really fun.
Yeah. I also watched, me and Dickie hung out and watched SmackDown where Gunther and Sheamus. Yeah. That was a pretty good match. And the tap out was interesting. It kind of, it split the room, yeah. You know, like, oh, okay. Kind of like it, kind of don't. Also kind of weird. But the Donnybrook was fun.
It was good. It reminded me of those, you know, Shield Wyatt matches back in the day, which was just a complete crazy brawl going everywhere.
I
really like that. It's now with that questionable tap and with Sheamus getting the win over this, you've now got the room to do the third one.
WrestleMania.
I kind of like to see them hold it off.
Yeah, WrestleMania.
But I really enjoyed that. I actually personally really enjoyed the fight pit. I heard quite a few negative things about it, but I actually really got into that, and that senton was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know how he wrestled the next night.
I was worried for.
I thought he got injured doing that senton.
I don't know. I feel the same whenever I see like the coup de grace or stuff like that. How do you do that and not hurt the guy? That was just thud.
It made a loud cracking sound, like his thigh or his ass or tailbone or something. I didn't know how he got up and then wrestled on Raw. But I actually did not like that match.
No,
I did not hit for me like as the older one that we've seen. I feel like there was two before, right?
In NXT. We had Thatcher and Ciampa and Thatcher and Riddle.
I felt like it was a lot of like just okay, now do this thing. Now it was lacking something, and also like the crowd were already like, wait, are we not getting Bray Wyatt, or is he interfering in this match? And they started chanting for that, and like, not saying that took me out, but I definitely like some of the other wrestling on the show.
I think, I would like to see. I wouldn't write off the fight pit. I like the gimmick
for sure.
I think it's a cool looking structure. I like that you have a match which is just like knockout or submission. I probably agree. I think I did prefer some of those NXT fight pits, but I still got into it. I also watched the next day, so I wasn't watching like the whole thing in one go, which I think does help because I go in a bit fresher.
I fell asleep during the I Quit match and woke up.
I actually really enjoyed the end of the I Quit.
I woke up right as Dominic was beating the shit out of.
It was long, Ray. But I thought they actually did a really good job. I think they've done a great job with Judgment Day, which I completely wrote off at one point.
Yeah.
I thought that the end of that I Quit match was pretty good. I enjoyed the show. I did have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, the Bray Wyatt thing is super cool just because it's spooky season, so what a great time to kind of bring that whole thing back. But there were so many different layers I found in that thing. I mean, people online are like definitely giving their takes on it. I mean, the door reminded me of Brody Lee's entrance in AEW.
I've seen that picture side by side, which
and then
is pretty cool.
Also, the one mask with the witch's veil over is Brody's mask for when he was the Bludgeon Brother. So, like, that's also really cool. There's definitely, like, little layers. And then he showed up wearing that new mask that he takes off.
The White Rabbit mask.
Yeah,
mask,
basically the White Rabbit mask now. And that looks exactly like that new movie, that movie that came out recently, The Black Phone, with Ethan Hawke. He wears this mask.
That's right, yeah.
So I found out that's the same guys who made The Fiend stuff, the same guys who made that mask for that movie, also continuing working all together with this stuff. And then it inspired me to watch The Black Phone last night. I was like, now I kind of want to watch
it.
It was pretty good. It wasn't exactly what I expected.
I remember seeing the trailer, and I was interested by the trailer.
You know what? It was pretty good. It wasn't like blow me away, but it had some cool stuff. Ethan Hawke has slowly becoming like horror.
He just does horror,
And he's really good. He's actually the best part. Like, he's so creepy. But Bray Wyatt's totally using that new mask that kind of looks like that. But in the movie, there's like different masks for different emotions. Mm. So I'm wondering if he brings that into play with. Like, he's already got different characters.
I kind of feel that his whole entrance with the showing the old characters, showing the fun house being abandoned, and then the final reveal of the Fiend. I felt it was him kind of leaving that behind.
Yeah,
maybe. And it's something it's wrestling. You can always down the line bring the Fiend back or whatever. But I'm interested to see the new direction. Where would you? So he's going to be on SmackDown. It's revealed. What would you do as like his first feud?
I mean, the people are saying, you know, they want to see, like, there's the group of them, the masks and the characters. Like, is that going to eventually lead to different people, the Wyatt Six of different people? Or is Bray just going to all of a sudden wrestle? Is he just going to show up? Is he going to speak? Because the promo on NXT tonight was like, what does he have in store for WWE? So does it mean he's going to talk or a video or something along those lines?
Like, right? Eventually he'll need a program of some sort.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he is, there's this Wyatt six thing people are talking about. Maybe that's the best way to do it. Kind of, he recruits people by beating them. Because I don't want to see him anywhere near Roman yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him anywhere near Gunther.
We need Bo.
So
we need a Bo leave.
So it's, what do you actually do with him? What characters are there on SmackDown that he can kind of... That's always what's been the problem with this character.
No, the problem with Bray Wyatt is he was never a good wrestler. And I hope after being away, maybe he found some time to
fix
that. I wouldn't
say he wasn't a good wrestler. It's a certain style.
Yeah.
It's very like Mick Foley-esque, you know? It's brawling, it's the big guy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't suit Bray Wyatt to be doing 450s and hurricanranas.
I'm not saying that makes you a good wrestler. I'm just saying, like, without naming Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt at that one Royal Rumble. What's your favorite Bray Wyatt match?
No, I completely agree with you. I wouldn't say that means he's a bad wrestler, though. I think it's always been the problem with his character, especially during that
Fiend
time. And I think when you build up a character so supernatural and whatever, it's like, well, we can't really beat him, but then we're like, once you've got him, put a title on him or whatever, you're kind of handcuffed. Yeah. And that's always what's been a problem. And I almost feel like what helped The Undertaker, I felt, was the American Badass.
Sure.
It actually turned, oh, let's make this guy human for 3 years. And we see more of the human side.
It would
make
more sense.
He does more human stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can lose because he's not supernatural.
Yeah.
And then once that luster wore off, he was already kind of a legend then, and you could do the dead man gimmick sparingly, and it worked. He was a hybrid Taker then. And I think that's maybe what Bray needs, is to maybe be humanized.
Be grounded again.
Be grounded, 100%.
I think that with his thing, like the whole, like everything spooky and stuff, it is such an easy draw to bring non-hardcore fans, like casual fans.
Yeah.
Instantly goes, A, like, oh, I know who that guy is, so that's cool. Or B, like, what is this? This looks cool, spooky shit. Like, it is a part that draws people in always. It always has, it always will. And he kills it with the visuals, like... Any of the creative stuff that he has, like, is so good. And, you know, we do all the horror movie reviews and stuff. He looks like there should be, like, this guy who they brought in is working on this movie and stuff. Yeah. We were saying about The Fiend. Like, this should be a movie. Like, See No Evil, like Cain Evil and stuff. But, I am interested to see where it goes. I do think going more of a human guy, cause in the movie The Black Phone, it's just a guy who wears a mask. It's not supernatural. He's not supernatural.
I mean, yeah, I almost think when we talk about, and this is a really weird comparison, but Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
What is it? Is this guy lazy, or is he doing this lazy shit to fuck up his opponents
exactly.
and put them off? So that's what I feel with Bray. Is Bray actually supernatural, or is he just really good at trickery and stuff?
He's mysterious.
To like freak you out and do this thing. He's not magic, but he's good at like playing mind games, if you will.
And I'm interested to see where it goes. He's been good at, you know, the storylines and stuff like that, but there has been a lot of bad stuff, but it's a new era. We'll see where he can go with this. I mean, that he's not the only return. We had Brock Lesnar return.
We did.
He's coming back.
And we've got as I dub, the luckiest fucking guys in wrestling, the Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers.
Have landed another...
They're like cockroaches.
Another big contract.
They
like,
just keep coming.
What the fuck? I mean...
Don't stop on them. They'll stay with you.
No, I respect Luke Gallows so much.
We respect both of them.
How have they fucking managed this again?
You gotta pour one out. You gotta cheers. Salute to the Good
Carl
Brothers.
Carl Anderson, he's like, I work for WWE and New Japan. And what? I'm Carl Anderson.
I just like how in interviews they were like, yeah, we asked Impact for more money and purposely didn't work. Like, purposely, like, didn't care about the matches we did. Just, like, took the money from them. It's like, oh,
this
man.
Is, like, they are Kevin Nash of the modern
Bless
day.
Bless them. I love think. Them.
Yeah.
But dream rotation. Dream blunt rotation is us and the Good Brothers.
So what, Carl Anderson, the Good Brothers debuted on Raw yesterday, siding with AJ Styles, reuniting the OC. And
Finn's reaction, he was so shook.
He was so shook.
Yeah.
But Carl Anderson is your never open weight champion.
Forbidden Door.
And will be defending the title, I've heard.
Yeah. He's defending the title at Wrestle Kingdom.
Against Hikuleo.
Oh, right. I thought he was facing Master Wato.
No, that's someone else. Yeah.
That's too bad. That's interesting. The Forbidden Door might open in a different company now.
So who, like, yeah, what would that Forbidden Door be? What do you want to see?
Roman Reigns, Shingo Takagi. or Roman Reigns. You can't do Roman Okada because one guy has to lose. Mm. So you know New Japan doesn't care if Shingo ever loses a match. So just do that match. No, Shingo Sheamus at this point. Shingo Gunther.
I want Shingo Gunther. I'd want Cena Tanahashi.
I think you do Roman Tanahashi. I don't think Cena would do it now. But I mean, Cena Tana would be the better.
Is Tana that guy now?
Yeah.
We won't give Punk Okada. We'll give you Tana.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
But Cena Tanahashi.
Okada Randy Orton, or are they the same person?
Okada Randy would be good.
Okada Randy.
Seth Ospreay.
Seth Ospreay would be crazy. That'd you know, they already good. Tweet each other and stuff. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. Look, the Forbidden Tony's losing it. Tony's Gato was just over in New York, in the States. Remember chatting to Tony? We weren't sure why. He was saying he was dotting the contracts. It's over. I'm opening the doors, the Forbidden Windows elsewhere. Sorry.
And we could have, what's his name? Yujiro, Baron Corbin.
Yeah. So you know what match not to watch.
Exactly, yeah.
Go to the washer. Exactly. Yeah, that'd be great. Wow, dream booking WWE.
Forbidden Door.
Danielson's definitely going back to WWE after his contract's up. And he's like, oh, I can be in the G1 and in WWE.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll sign that John Moxley contract.
Don't think so. I think Triple H and him have been real texty DM-y. Triple H sends him memes.
He's like, hey, Daniel, how's your little club?
I was just learning. Can you help me out with this vegan recipe I was trying to? And like, he's just trying to schmooze with him, just really get back in his good books so that Brian just goes, come on home, Brian. Come on home.
Yeah.
Be on Total Divas again. Wow. Look at the fickle wrestling fans we are. Turning on AEW in a tip of a hat. We're going to the shows this tomorrow, but we're really upset of how they've kind of handled their so-called big debut.
Just
in
bring Kenny back tomorrow, and I'll.
Kenny
I'll
shows
shut up,
we'll eat everything we said right now. Kenny shows up, we're back. Yeah. He literally will clean the mud off their lame and get them out of the mud, but that won't happen.
Hey, but don't be down. We're going to hit Judas
on Rampage. Yeah.
Well, I think that's enough chitter chatter. Shall we get into some NXT?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up that, you know, Matt Taven is a free agent?
Free agent.
Matt Taven.
Hottest free agent in wrestling today. Matt Taven.
Former
Is that going to be Stack's opponent next week? Could Are be. Matt Taven and Tony D'Angelo friends?
I don't think
Are Cameron
so.
Grimes and Tony and Matt Taven
I want the friends? I want the kingdom in WWE.
Matt Taven and Mike Bennett
be lit.
Will be teaming up with Grimes next week.
They better stay as a unit, the three of them, Maria, Bennett, and Taven. And I think they could show up somewhere. I hope it's not AEW because there's just no fucking room for any new people there. Let's focus on the people you got. So, yeah. And then there was some NXT names at some dark tapings, or sorry, main event tapings at WWE in Brooklyn because Von Wagner wrestled in the, what's the arena there? Barclays Center?
Barclays Center.
He wrestled, I saw, but also Carmelo Hayes had a match there as well. Something tells me you'll be seeing Carmelo Hayes headline a few shows at the Barclays Center in the future. I would put money on.
Yeah, I think Melo is certainly
Von Wagner too.
Have this ladder match, and then move up. Von Wagner. I mean, yeah, that's someone for Okada right there for our Forbidden Door.
Right, of course. How could I forget?
He's an incredible wrestler.
He is. Never forget. I had this terrible dream that Booker T was on commentary for NXT. And then I woke up, we started the show, and shucky ducky quack quack. My dream slash nightmare came true.
The first words he said on this show were shucky ducky quack quack. Boy.
I was just getting back into this show. And then you just...
Yeah, I think Wade and Michael Cole... I feel good for Wade. I've liked him on commentary.
Pour one out.
I think pour one out. Whether this is just temporary until Pat's back after like college football season. I watched a bit of Raw last night. Kevin Patrick, he's fine. I don't think he has like that. I don't know. He doesn't have that exciting voice.
Yeah.
You know, that I want from a call.
Yeah.
That's what I'm lacking from him. But no, I like the SmackDown team. Vic has definitely grown on me over time, but
sure.
Oh boy, Booker T.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Booker T. I used to love him as a kid in wrestling. I think he's hilarious. I do genuinely am a fan of Booker T. And Bad Bunny has a song named after him. He's fantastic. But I do not like his commentary, and I can be complete. I'm a huge Booker fan. Love him. do not like his commentary.
It reminded me of when Jerry Lawler filled in on Raw recently.
Okay.
When it's just, you can tell he does zero research.
You didn't watch this show?
Doesn't talk to anyone.
You could have hit us up. Could have sent my notes.
These changes just happened in the last week. So if he doesn't watch this show, maybe he hasn't had a lot of time. But know something about these people. Later, one of his own students, Indy Hartwell, is in a match. And Vic asks him, like, oh, so you trained Indy. Like, what do you know about her?
He was like,
and
say a word.
He was stumped.
Oh.
There was so much of this show where Vic, you could see him, like, holding him his hand, leading him through, trying to help him.
Like, bless him. First night
Ron Breaker, cool. Phew. I can talk about the Steiner brothers for the whole match. Everything else is like, this kid. I don't like this kid. I like this kid.
Hey,
this kid.
It's literally the first show, but it was sticking out for me, at least. Like, it was definite, like, okay, wait, have you ever watched this show? Mm. Did anyone since this change give you, like, a PowerPoint of who is who? Like, WWE has a media page. They have a website. You can click the website and go to the roster and click them, and it actually tells you about them.
Who's on the show tonight? Right. Let's learn these faces, these names.
This was the first time he saw these people coming out. Yeah. It felt like. He didn't even talk. Like, when that's how it felt like.
I remember that Impact pay-per-view last year where Tom Hannifan, like, he was just changing it, and he was thrown in the deep end. He was calling this pay-per-view. And the amount of research that guy must have done, he knew fucking everything going on. Sorry, this is your job. Like, sure, we'll give you a few weeks, but to call everyone in this show, this kid. Like, do you know these people? No.
There was just so many of him going, like, not knowing what to say. It just felt really like you literally didn't know what was going on. That's the vibe I got from this. And again, big Booker fan.
The guy, I mean, I know he's play-by-play, but Sudhu Shah we had last week.
I mean, he does Level Up. He probably knows more than anyone.
He's play by play and you need a color guy, but I'm sure there are other people there who could do.
It's just so left field. I don't know why it's Booker T. I think there's so many other options.
Even wrestlers you have that are maybe injured or something right now.
It's really out there. He's never even been mentioned on NXT before. He clearly doesn't watch the show. There's so many different moments throughout the show that I was like, what?
Yeah.
There's this, while we're on it, I'll just say it now. There's a specific moment in a match when Idris Enofe does the Booker T pose before he does like a spinning dance move, almost like the Spinneroonie. But while he's doing it and pointing to Booker T like, hey, like, I'm doing this for you. Booker wasn't looking and was talking to Vic Joseph about how these kids don't have it yet. From what I've seen, they look like they're not ready yet.
Where he's like posing and
he's like, they're posing.
Booker goes off about, and it didn't sound in an ironic way. You know, when people deliberately, I'd never do that.
He was literally not looking because he's talking to Vic about these showboating kids.
You're known for doing a spinneroonie.
He's literally pointing at you, Booker, like, yo, like, I'm doing this for you. And Booker didn't see him do it. It was like, what the? You're just missing everything. Just felt.
He sucked.
Like, first week, and we're being harsh, but, like, that, it was really bad.
It's not his first week ever commentating.
No,
though.
Fair enough.
You know, he was on Raw and SmackDown for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Do your research.
Yeah.
Like, I feel he just showed up today. All right, Vic.
I want him to get better. I used to, like, back in the day when he first joined commentary, I thought he was really funny. But, like, and again, I've been a fan of him for a long time. But, man, just was not. I was puzzled by a lot of the things that he said and didn't say on this show. Because it's like, wait, have you watched this before? Do you know what this is? Do you know they're filming? Do you know what
you're doing? I've always found when I've heard him in interviews and stuff, he's someone that seems to form an opinion without really necessarily watching.
Sure.
Or, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what I've always found.
I want him to get better.
He won't. He sucks. Well, let's get into the show. We open NXT October 11th, 2022 from the Capitol Wrestling Center with our champion, Bron Breakker, coming out to face Javier Bernal. Who? There we go.
Yeah, I was not sure who he was, and I was like, fuck, who's this guy fighting today?
He's guy in that new Werewolf by Night movie.
Javier Bardem?
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Is it?
Yeah. during Javier's entrance, JD McDonagh comes out and joins commentary. JD had quite a good line here where he looks at Vic and Booker and says, oh, we have a full deck here. The Ace, the King, and the Joker at the end.
I did like that line, yes.
We get some gut-wrench slams from Bronn. JD is just both running down Bronn and Dragunov. He says Dragunov is like a Greek statue, pale and got no arms. Bronn knocks down Javi with a big clothesline, then hits a belly-to-belly suplex on Bernal, and Javi was super close to just landing on his head.
You almost called him Javier Bardem.
I did.
I'm going to keep doing it till you do it.
Javier, I'll just call him Javi. Javi comes back with these forearms, and then Bronn picks him out midair with a big spine buster and hits the military press power slam for the easy win here.
Yeah. There's something good about Bronn does the what Goldberg used to do when he does that move. He chokes you first, looks at you like, I'm going to kill you. And then
he's clearly a Goldberg fan. Yeah. He's got the tattoo.
And the spear and everything.
And that military press power slam.
Dad, Rick Steiner, Goldberg. I love you, but I love Goldberg.
Yeah.
This was exactly what it needed to be. Bronn just crushing him really quick, but... I love the belly to belly and that power slam.
I thought JD was quite good on commentary as well. I thought he didn't like overdo it, but had some good one liners in there.
Yeah, he's quick.
After the match, McDonagh gets into the ring and Dragunov's music hits. They're face to face and JD just punches him in the face. Dragunov tries to come back with his like running headbutt, the Torpedo Moscow, but JD gets out the way and he takes out Bronn. Oh no, I didn't mean to do that. You're a good guy.
Oh no.
And well, what'll happen? It's all broken down here.
Yeah.
We see Alba Fire in a little video who says in less than 2 weeks, she scorches the empire Mandy built. And if JC and Gigi are looking for revenge, but she is a fire keeper and she will burn them down. Because when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yep. Smoke them if you got them. It's more of her talking about fire, making fire
keepers,
quotes. She should just literally write down every song about that has lyrics about fire, and then every promo just put it into
this
the promo.
This girl is on fire.
Yeah, anything like that.
Well, let's go to the match I was definitely looking forward to the most on this show.
Hell yeah.
And it 100% lived up. Axiom. Taking on Nathan Fraser in the third match of their best of three series, where the winner will be inserted into the North American Championship ladder match at Halloween Havoc.
It's a best of so-and-so matches series, so you know Booker T would have the absolute best knowledge on that, but did not bring that up whatsoever. Considering his opponent in those matches,
I don't blame him on that one.
Then. Thought I'd bring that up, but yeah.
This match was... awesome.
Instantly the highlight of the night. I mean, if you haven't checked out, we've covered the last two, and they were pretty good, and we were definitely excited for this. I think both of us were on the same page that this should have been on just the pay-per-view, because this is probably a better match than anything that might happen on that pay-per-view, just because I did love this. But also, the winner of this is added to the ladder match, when I think both of them should just be in the ladder
match. As the match went on, I was just hoping for some sort of draw.
Like, when would you hope for that?
They even tease a double pin in the match, but just, both these guys were awesome here. They raised the bar from their previous two matches. Well, let's get into it. Axiom takes it to the mat to start off with. He's definitely got the better submission game of the two. He's taking Fraser down with these headlock takedowns and wrist locks. Fraser then slips out and moonsaults over his head, starts to run the ropes, and as he goes for the leapfrog, Axiom just picks him out of midair by the ankles and applies like a sort of Muda Lock kind of submission here, which Fraser like flips out of, and then both do the kip up. Fraser goes for his moonsault into the he does it like AJ, but with the Final Cut version.
Yeah.
But Axiom slips out of that, and now there's just a lot of the like Greco-Roman knuckle lock fun they're having, rolling around, monkey flipping each other, not letting go of the hands. Really fun to watch.
A lot of countering each other's counters, landing on feet and then countering and then running the ropes, and like so many
stalemates.
A lot of that. Like I think of, you know, SmackDown versus Raw cruiserweight moves list from one down to like eight. They're all doing like all these things, and it's crazy.
Axiom just leaps up to the top rope but gets knocked off. And then Fraser goes for this Frankensteiner, but Axiom slips out and shoves him, causing him to do a kind of split-legged moonsault. Just, it looked so painful here.
Yeah.
And this took us to the commercial break as he's like watching his quads there, his hamstring, which could have easily been torn. After the break, Axiom counters, a Boston Crab into a cover. Quite unique counter here as well. Fraser goes for a springboard, but as he's on the second rope going for this springboard, Axiom like mudslide power bombs him.
No, it's like he slides under him and like German suplexes him.
Yeah, like a, yes.
So exactly. It's like a sliding German. It makes me think of Ishimori. He does this move usually into the corner, but it's also almost like a Bushi in a way because the guy's in that position on the ropes. This was awesome. And the way he really slides right under him
so
was crazy.
Slick. Follows up with a high cross for a near fall and then this fisherman suplex for a two. And now they're fighting on the floor and Fraser hits a moonsault off the apron into the final cut on the floor.
Crazy.
Which looked nuts. Referee starts to make the count and Axiom gets in on 9. And as he gets in, Fraser just comes off the top with a double stomp. Just like a huge cave in here.
Yeah.
And then goes up the top for his Phoenix Splash, which gets caught into a triangle and which Axiom then counter like transitions into an armbar, but Fraser gets the ropes. Fraser goes for a springboard and Axiom catches him with his step-up Gammon Geary and then a beautiful top rope moonsault to the floor from Axiom.
Yeah, very, I want to say like Kenny Omega-esque, where Kenny sometimes isn't even on the top rope. He launches himself and then just uses it to kick
like, just moonsault leap off and immediately
of, like,
going
push
into
off
it.
Of it almost.
Yeah.
He hit this flying onto the ramp area, landing on Fraser. This was a high spot of the match for sure.
Fraser then goes for his trainer Seth Rollins move, the superplex into the Falcon Arrow, but Axiom counters the Falcon Arrow into a sleeper.
This guy is so slick, man. This was an impressive feat. Like, he just got superplexed and then is lifted into the Falcon Arrow and counters that into, like, the sleeper, the coquina clutch, whatever you want to call it. Wow. So clean.
Now they're just going into this crazy final stretch where they're just both delivering super kicks to each other. Axiom, and actually I thought this move was really cool because it actually does suit his kind of superhero gimmick, just, like, ran at him really fast with a fist to the face.
Yeah.
And not like a Superman punch, but just a straight punch in the nose, but running fast. Looked really cool.
Yeah.
There's then this V-trigger to the jaw from Axiom, rolling pin attempts back and forth, and then Fraser finally catches him with the pin. So Fraser is the final entrant in this North American Championship
I mean,
match.
I gotta say, this was an amazing match, and I would recommend go watch this match if you did not watch this show. This was awesome. Definitely one of the best NXT matches in a long time. This is, I would say, a takeover worthy level match here from these two, and it's a shame that both aren't going to be on the pay-per-view, but Fraser advances to that. Yeah,
it was both of their like best performance by far.
Yeah,
really great stuff. I highly recommend going to watch this. Might be one of my favorite matches of the last week.
Oh, I like this more than anything on the pay-per-view from Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Honestly, this was really good. I really enjoyed these guys for sure. As I think Brandon or Sino's phone is going off, they're both asleep now on our couch. You want to go see whose phone
it
is?
You
I'll entertain to the masses here. Our friends are over and they're sleeping on our couch. And turn that shit off. Is he listening to Metallica? What the fuck? It sounded like his alarm is Metallica?
I think it's to tell him to deliver stuff with UPS or whatever.
His alarm is Metallica. Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Well,
we're live, pal.
Anything can happen. Honestly, go check that match out if you haven't. And shout out to Axiom. Axiom, we watched a bunch of in NXT UK as A-Kid. And
what?
He's the same guy.
No!
He's not even a kid. He's just Axiom. This was just so much fun. And now I kind of want Frazier to win that match at Halloween Havoc.
Mm.
I think he should be the guy to climb the ladder.
All right.
Take it home.
We see Ilya Dragunov in the parking lot, and we're all getting extremely worried for the guy.
He's new here, but like someone should have told
him. Come on, dude.
Definitely was making me nervous here.
Booker might not have watched this show, but I think you have, Ilya. And he's interviewed, asked if the headbutt to Bron was intentional, and he kind of says, like, it wasn't, but then in war, he says, love, war, and, like, things happen. When Grayson Waller interrupts wearing these goofy sunglasses, because he was blinded last week, remember?
Yeah, my ninth grade English teacher wore these 24 hours, 7 days a week she had vision issues and like she couldn't handle the sun or something. So it's like these protector glasses.
Like Edgar David.
I don't know what that is,
the
but
football player.
Yeah, you got to wear them. We praise Grayson Waller for his shirts. Got to say, rare L for Grayson Waller with this mesh shirt with flowers on it. It just didn't hit quite as.
You know what? I didn't even notice, which shows that it was an L. Because normally every week I'm sliding in his DMs going, yo, where'd you get that shirt?
And he never replies.
He never replies because he's a heel.
The Joker's going to message you this week. I got this shirt.
Yeah, right, I'm good, dude. Do you think I could pull off a mesh shirt?
Please do not. I think you could, but you shouldn't.
I don't think I look like shit today. I can't pull off anything. So Ilya makes a joke saying he's wearing his mother's sunglasses, basically challenges him to a match tonight, and Waller gets all scared and freaked out and is just, nothing's going right for him, and he blames Mackenzie for all of this.
Always blame Mackenzie when in doubt. I like how Ilya was like, dude, I was going home, and now you're talking shit? Nah, you know
I'll
what?
I'll have a match. I'll get changed.
We'll wrestle. And it's like, that's such a good babyface thing. Like, oh, sorry, I was leaving, but you pissed me off. Let's go. I'll get ready. Don't worry. It's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
We see Valentina Ferois backstage with Sanger.
Yes.
And she asks Sanger, are you going to be in my corner tonight for my match? And he says, I'll always be there for you. And when Indy Hartwell walks in, who has the match with her tonight, and says that basically you're kind of new here and this is my jungle. So I'll see you out there. A bit of babyface, but competitive.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll see you out.
So Valentina Ferraz lost her partner, so now she's singles action, but still hanging around Sanger, possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We have a video from Apollo Crews.
Oh, man.
He's writing in his diary.
This got to top the lameness of the last one, because this one he's just like in the parking lot under a lamppost.
Yeah, he's not even at a nice night scriber front or anything anymore.
Writing things at night like a journalist, like, oh, I got to get this story out. But he's just writing in his diary.
He says, one detail can change how you visualize everything.
Dear Slim.
And now it changes how you can see everything. I've waited 2 months for this day to come. Is that how long this has been? His feud with Waller? 2 months?
Wow.
At Halloween Havoc, let's see what happens. And we start seeing these visions. He's having these visions of all these weapons. And Chucky.
Whoa.
We had the tie-in last year. Chucky season 2 is on the USA Network right now.
Cross
so
promotion.
We're going to have some sort of Chucky match.
Want to play?
Between Waller and Apollo. And he says, Grayson, I'm going to force my perspective on you at Halloween Havoc. I leave you in the dark.
So a lights out match, spin the wheel, make a wheel.
Yeah.
Spin a wheel, make a wheel.
Chucky in the dark kind
Chucky
of
Chucky in the dark match.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
More on the wheel later.
We go to Valentina Ferois versus Indy Hartwell.
Valentina Ferois with one of the best entrances in wrestling.
Her dancing.
Her dancing, yeah.
We see Sanger sporting a nice blue suit.
Was he
in the blue? Yeah, very nice. And Veer comes out in a nice red suit.
So the match starts and like right away pretty much. Like Valentina barely hits like two arm drags, which were beautiful. Veer comes out and Sanger looks at him, but Valentina don't see this. And Veer kind of whispers in Sanger's ear, and Sanger's like, huh? And then just follows Veer to the back slowly.
Did he say, into Shea?
No one's ever going to believe you.
Yeah. So Veer's left. Sorry, Sanger's left with Veer.
So remember when Sanger said, hey, I'll always be there for you. Well, that was turned out to be a complete fucking lie.
Nice guy Sanger.
Not so nice.
Don't trust the nice guy.
Wow, this guy just walks out on you when he says he's going to... That's even worse than not even being there. Like,
when you just go, all right, Veer, just give me a minute. It's the women's match. They're not going to go long.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Hold on. I'm here for my girl. No, we got to... The party bus is leaving. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry, gotta go. Like, what was his excuse? What did he whisper to him?
What did he whisper?
It's always like the end of Lost in Translation. What did he whisper to Scarlett Johansson in her ear? What did he say? We'll never know.
Remember what happened to Marco.
That's what he whispered.
That's what he said. Need memes. Like, what did Veer whisper to
Sanger? What did Veer whisper to Sanger here? Like, I can get us on the main roster spot. Like,
yeah.
Let's go.
So Indy applies an Argentine backbreaker, which Fourier gets out of. There's then a rolling arm breaker from Hartwell. And then Indy has, sorry.
Faraz
has Indy in the, like, an arm bar triangle kind of thing.
Yeah, Faraz is really and technical.
Indy manages to deadlift her right up and does this backdrop suplex, which looked really impressive from Indy here.
Yeah.
Fourier goes for another armbar attempt and then a knee lift. And this is where she realizes that Sanger's gone.
No!
But continues, hits the double knees to Indy, followed by the drop kick. And then Indy hits, like, almost like this kind of Cesaro Kota Ibushi, like, from the apron suplex into the ring.
Yeah.
And pins Valentina here.
She was so shocked and heartbroken that her friend left that she was distracted and lost.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really like Valentina, and I think Indy's been in a bit of a slump recently.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say this was an incredible match, but I think it was a move in the right direction for Indy being back on track or just putting on a good match. I think Valentina's really good. I didn't like... It should have been Feroz realizes Sanger's gone
and then wins.
Loses.
No, sorry. Faraz lost.
So but she realized he went and then hit a few pretty cool moves and then lost.
Okay, what I'm saying is she should have noticed he wasn't there and then won the match.
Okay, but like without changing the booking, like if she's going to lose this, it didn't feel like Sanger leaving actually cost her the match, which it should have.
Yeah.
Whereas instead she, he's gone and then hits like a Meteora, a drop kick, a knee to the face.
Yeah.
And then loses. I kind of felt it should have led directly to the finish.
I could see Faraz going far because she's got some really cool moves. I mean, she's got a great look with the entrance and everything, like we said. But then, like, she's hitting, like, flying arm bars and triangles. I'm like, yo, okay, girl, like, let's go. Like,
she's got that, like, jiu-jitsu.
Sorry, we haven't had people in the women's division NXT do this kind of stuff in a while. So I'm kind of down for that.
She's good with the facials as well.
Yeah, she's always good.
And
now the Sanger saga continues because what's happening with Indushir and Valentina? It's just all heartbreaking stuff. Maybe they'll go do yoga together now.
What, Sanger and Veer?
Yeah.
Maybe. We see Pretty Deadly on the perch. And
they're shirtless.
They're topless. They're wearing, one's wearing the beer hat, you know, where you got the straws with the two
beers.
Beer cans either side. The other with a huge cowboy hat.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson.
They're making fun of Americans. They're saying, go sports! congratulate Indy on her win. And they say they're here to watch the Triple Threat tag match. They call each other Tasty Snacks and go, 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Pretty Deadly! Go, Pretty Deadly! And they turn around and they got PD on their backs.
Yeah, and then they later, when the match is on, switch positions so that it says DP all night.
Calling out Davey Portman.
Clearly shouting out Davey Portman.
Next,
what
fans.
Else would it mean? Oh, yep. I remember what DP means. Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Idris, Anofi, and Malik Blade make the entrance, and I found it quite funny as they're coming out. Pretty Deadly, we're going, boo, red card, send them off.
I always forget which one's which in Pretty Deadly.
Elton is the blonde.
Who's the other one? Kit?
Kit Wilson.
Kit calls Elton Ellie.
Ellie and Kitty.
Ellie and Kitty. These guys are great. It seems as if they recently broke kayfabe with one of them posting,
what's her name? Kincaid.
Kincaid, the posting photos. I think they're engaged or something.
I think they're just in love.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was my mistake. Don't take that for a grain of salt then. I just saw the picture and I saw all other wrestlers commenting on it like you're
right.
Breaking kayfabe. What is going on? Just great stuff. You love to see love in wrestling in and outside of the ring, but these guys are hilarious.
Yeah. We see Cora Jade backstage who says, she's asked about if she's picked her person for Roxanne Perez for the Pick Your Poison match. And she says, well, I've got lots of people to choose from and I've got to whittle it down. I've got to decide who's going to be the best. And says it must be really hard for Roxanne to pick someone as no one likes her. And Mackenzie says her DMs are blowing up and says Roxanne is actually going to SmackDown on Friday to pick someone from there.
Whoa.
And Cora says, well, I have people I can call too. Do you have Ronda's number? And Mackenzie goes, no, I don't. So Cora storms off. Mackenzie whispers to the camera, Actually, I do.
Oh, cheeky McKenzie. Yeah. So Roxanne's going to SmackDown to pick someone for Cora Jade to fight next week.
Mm.
The Fiend. He's going to be on SmackDown. Clearly, she would just pick him.
Ramblin' Rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah. So Roxanne's picking someone from SmackDown, and Cora will maybe we'll find out where she goes later. But yeah, Roxanne's going to be on SmackDown. So who do you think she's picking?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who's on what.
Who's on SmackDown?
SmackDown.
Shotzi? I think last week we said Roxanne.
It's going to be a baby face, right? Like you'd assume. So.
Oh, true.
Looking at
who's a baby face? Raquel?
Raquel, I could see, yeah.
Raquel, Shotzi.
You've got Raquel, Shotzi. The whole thing is Aaliyah, B-Fab, Charlotte, Lacey, Liv Morgan.
Hell yeah, B-Fab.
Maxine Dupree, Naomi, Natalia, Raquel, Ronda, Sasha, Scarlett Boudreaux, Shayna, Shotzi, Sonya, Xia Li, Zelina. Yeah, I could see, I think Shotzi with Halloween Havoc coming up.
That would be good. Cool. She could be the host again.
Yeah.
And then, well, we'll get into Cora's pick, I guess, later.
Later on. Sure. That triple takes threat. Us to our triple threat number one contenders match. It's Idris and Malik taking on the Dyad, taking on Briggs and Jensen. This is NXT's version of a triple threat tag where it's three people in the ring at the same time rather than two in the ring and you can tag whoever.
Yeah.
You just tag your own partner, which I think makes way more sense.
Doesn't AEW do it like this?
They've done both.
Yeah,
they did it this way with the, I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah, it was good.
Kyle O'Reilly, like
Jungle Jurassic Express. Yeah.
This makes way more sense, yeah. I think. Briggs and Jensen do their slide through the ropes punch thing to, I think it was Idris. James Drake. Jagger Reed. I remembered James Jagger.
Rick James. Mick Jagger.
Jagger Reed.
Jagged
so
edge.
Rip Fowler has one of the guys in like a backbreaker on the outside. And Jagger jumps over the top rope to like assist the backbreaker.
Does nothing.
But just like lands on his feet and is like,
yeah,
and I helped.
I helped there. I helped do that move. That didn't look like you really helped. But,
didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They then hug. They've taken the best friend spot with
they hug Gacy.
Joe Gacy.
Yeah, yeah. Worst part of this episode is you didn't get Joe Gacy's theme song, which is a slapper. It's been on my playlist all week.
Yeah.
Definite.
This is where Idris does his tribute to Booker, and Booker's like, I don't like that kid.
He wasn't even watching. Yeah. He's like, hey, these kids don't know what they're doing. Who are they again?
Briggs then throws Malik onto everyone on the outside, and then it's Jensen follows up with a swanton.
Yeah.
Like assisted rope walk. Like Briggs is holding his hand, walking the rope, and then a swanton.
Brooks Jensen, shades of Ray Phoenix here.
Yeah.
Not so much a rope run like Ray Phoenix, but a rope walk.
Hey, you need stabilizers when you start riding
this
the bike,
was good.
And eventually you'll take him off.
Yo,
right?
Jensen doing a tope senton out to the on top of everyone. That was some good stuff.
There's then a Tower of Doom spot with Jensen underneath. And then Briggs on the outside actually hits this pretty cool move where he throws Malik onto the against the ropes, but on the outside of the ring. So Malik bounces off and then just clubs him with his clothesline to the chest. I thought looked really good.
Yeah.
And Malik just like turned inside out here. There's another clothesline to Idris in the ring. And then Briggs and Jensen do their atomic drop clothesline combo. There's a high cross from Blade. Big elbow drop from Anofi to Jensen, which looked pretty nice. And as he's going for the pin, Briggs shoves Blade on top of them to break it up. Now, all six men are in the ring. They're just all getting their shit in. Kicks and punches and drop kicks, flying clotheslines.
Everything.
There's then a twisting plunger from Anofi to the floor, followed by a big conhilo from Blade to the outside, which looked very nice. This is where Gacy gets involved. And then as the Dyad are going for Ticket to Mayhem, Grimes drags.
Yeah, Cameron Grimes shows
Grimes
up.
Grimes comes out of nowhere, hitting Gacy with the cave-in, which looked great.
Stomped him to like
you,
Mario.
You couldn't
yeah.
see the way it was shot. You didn't see Grimes coming in, and he just flies in with his cave-in.
Yeah.
He pulls Rip Fowler out of the ring.
Rip.
And Fowler. This allows Anofi to counter Jagger Reed into a pin, and Idris and Malik are your number one contenders.
Yeah. And you know why they won? Because he took off that damn sweater vest.
He did.
All he needed to do was take it off and be a real wrestler.
Yeah.
And he did here tonight. They hit some pretty impressive moves. There was like a double jumping, almost pay dirt or complete shot on Briggs and one of the other guys. It looked sweet. There was Blade hitting this like running, he does almost like the Miz clothesline, but at the same time, his legs went out through the ropes, kicking the guy on the outside as well. Like there was some really cool, fast paced stuff from all three, but I thought that they were definitely shining in this match. And we've always said that Rip and whatever Reed, like we liked the GYV guys before. Mm. They're really established wrestlers. Like they're kind of above developmental, I would think at this point.
Yeah.
And kind of watching these teams, it's like, yeah, there's some good stuff in between.
Yeah, I thought this was really chaotic and a bit of a clusterfuck, but in a good way.
Sure.
I think having the sort of triple threat style, it allows you to do these moments where everyone's in the ring at the same time because it's no DQ essentially. So you can do all the fun like tornado stuff.
Yeah.
Just keep. And I do think the WWE referees are normally pretty good of actually keeping on top of who's legal and what. I thought this was a pretty fun match between the six of them. And maybe a bit of a surprise. I kind of saw Briggs and Jensen taking this, especially after beating Gallus, it feels like they're on the ascend. Idris and Malik, good for them.
Yeah, hey, they've been stepping up. Literally, I'm happy he took the vest off. I can definitely see them more serious now without one of them trying to be like a king and one of them trying to be Urkel. It was really weird that they were going for that. But now I can see.
Oh,
everything.
He'll still wear the vest. Like
he wears he wore the black one. He wore like a black version of it coming out, and like, all right, at least he took it off. This was funny, and I liked how Pretty Deadly were watching the whole thing, and then kind of like, oh, these guys won, like. Okay, like we'll beat those guys. Boo these guys with their hats and their face paint.
Yep. GG and JC are backstage. JC says that they should be the number one contenders for the women's tag titles, but Batgirl attacks them. but Toxic Attraction don't fear the flames. GG says we will walk through fire to get our revenge.
Wow.
And she will send her back to her relatives in Middle Earth. And if they want to surprise them again, well, we'll have a surprise waiting for her. And boy, did they.
Yeah. See, like, Gigi knows. All right, what are some famous quotes about fire? Walk through fire? Okay, I can walk through fire, yeah. I can do that. All you need to do, look up the fire things.
Fire quotes.
I did like sending her back to Middle Earth. I'm definitely getting that vibe from Alba Fire. Yeah. So, yeah.
We go to my second favorite segment of the entire show.
Oh, yeah, what was this?
Kiana James is in her office, and she's on the phone. She's looking at some
There's blueprints. She's in her office. So Kiana James is the business associate, leader, lady. That's her gimmick.
She does business.
Yeah, that's it. What do you do? Business. We are very important business people. So she's got this office, but then she's got blueprints around. And if while she's on the phone, you can listen to what she's saying, but then you can see the blueprints, and it's the blueprints for Chase University.
Yeah, and she says, the land this is on is worth more than
the
property.
Dude, we can't make this up, okay? This sounds like we're lying. We're not.
The land that Chase U is on is worth more than the property.
The land is sour.
So she wants to acquire this property. And she says, I'm in the ring with one of the students tonight, and it makes the business even more pleasurable beating her. And then she turns to everyone's favorite secretary, Jean, and says, Jean,
Mean Gene.
This is just the beginning. So isn't this the plot of that Baywatch episode we watched with Vader?
With Vader and Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan? Yeah, they buy the...
They have a match to get the land for the youth home, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
The youth center?
This is so
Chase
bad.
Chase U being the youth center.
This is so fucking funny and so bad that I absolutely
I'm down.
It.
As long as I'm getting Keanu and
James.
Gene.
Gene?
Yeah, is they it can Gene? Talk business all day.
You're gonna, yeah.
I'd have a whole episode of business.
I would watch this show. you have my attention. You had my, what is it? You had my attention. Now you have my interest for sure. Gene, is it?
Gene. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big fan of Gene.
Yeah, good hire.
That can't be her name. That's not her name.
It's Gene.
It's just Gene?
It's Secretary Gene.
Secretary Gene. Yeah, I like her even more now, actually.
And it's businesswoman Keanu.
Yeah, all right, yeah. So the storyline is this lady is going to basically buy the property of Chase U and probably turn it into condos or,
yeah,
a, I don't know, what else she... What is she going to do with the land?
This, KU.
Maybe. Look, we joke about Jiangyin this show University. Being like Degrassi and all these things. Like, all these storylines on this show are just taking from like movies from like the 90s, 2000s. Like, what's like a shitty plot in like a, you know, like a comedy from like the 90s, 2000s? Oh, well, they're buying the property, the bad guys. Well, like the Goonies is another plot. Well, we got to get the property back. And like, it's just like they're taking such little things from all these.
I will say though, like, at the beginning of the show, we're talking, yeah, that Bray Wyatt thing was cool. Where does it go? This is easy, this though. Is easy. We can have a match for Chase U.
I don't think they're going to give up the property that easy. I think it's going to be a tough
fight. Oh, no. Andre Chase won't go down without a fight.
Exactly. Kiana James is going to have to find a business. We've been saying that she obviously needs to pair up with Axiom because he's good with numbers. Mm. And she's good with running the numbers. And Kiana was supposed to team up with Ariana Grande. What's her name?
Ariana Grace.
Santino,
yeah.
Morales.
Yeah. Dude.
And we didn't see her here tonight, so.
No.
But I like Gene.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
We go to Alba Fire versus JC Jane. Alba keeps them going for the gory bomb right away. There's some kicks to the chest from Fire. JC comes back with a running neck breaker for a two. And then Alba hits this Lope Suicida, taking out both JC and Gigi, who keeps on getting involved. Gigi then gets on the apron to try to interfere, but Alba Fire takes her out again and then connects with the gory bomb to JC Jane for the 1-2-3. Pretty quick match. I can't say I particularly got into this one.
Yeah, not too much that was popping off for this one. Alba Fire's definitely just been kind of chilling in this role for a while. Obviously, they're trying to heat up the match with Mandy Rose, but I know that there was some personal things with Mandy Rose. We weren't sure if we would see. Mandy wasn't on this show. And then to kind of, I think the angle after is more important than the match.
Yeah. So after the match, Alba Fire's walking up the ramp and celebrating, she's attacked by someone in the crowd.
Someone in the crowd. Yeah.
And it's Sonya Deville.
Whoa.
And Toxic Attraction help her with the beatdown. And then there's a shield bomb through the table on Alba Fire. Mandy Rose unfortunately lost her brother in the last week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
is off. I wonder if this is kind of there to, they announce a match next week, but I kind of feel if Mandy needs more time,
sure.
Maybe they'll just be like, let's put Sonya here and maybe she'll have the match at Halloween Havoc, or maybe that match won't go ahead.
Sure.
Because obviously a situation like that, Mandy's going to, you don't want her to rush back.
Of course. Of course. And definite. I hope she's doing all right. That's definitely a tough loss there. But Deville's never been in, hasn't been in NXT for quite a long time. And it kind of makes sense of the storyline with her and the history of Mandy and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, all right, cool. Let's see where we can kind of turn this into something kind of cool. I thought it was a smart thing to kind of add to this,
yeah.
This thing. What did you call them earlier? Toxic Deville?
Toxic Deville.
That's it. Also, someone in the chat, Nemesai, thank you, is reminding us that Ariana Grace is actually injured. So maybe that's why.
Oh,
so
okay.
So Kiana decided, well, I can't do business with the prom queen. I got to do business by stealing Chase University's
stealing
land.
Universities.
I'm going to take this land. I'm stealing it.
Like, if she did that, wouldn't she, like, all those people that pay tuition... Like, does she buy that out? I don't know.
Fuck them kids, bro.
She's a businesswoman, not me.
The Alba Fire thing, I guess we're going to go to Alba versus Deville. Maybe you have...
That's next week.
Yeah, so maybe you have Alba beat Deville to kind of set up if they go that way. Or take Alba out, I'm not sure, but
yeah.
Cool.
We see the Schism leaving the arena, and they are mad. Jagger Reed punches the cameraman right in the face, and the camera falls on the ground, and they kind of pick it up. And do this promo right into the camera.
It's like the Shield.
Yeah, Shield step. Right after the Shield bomb as well.
Yeah.
Joe Gacy's mad here. He says, Grimes, we tried so hard to bring you into our world, but you've had your final chance. And it's going to now be 3-on-1 next week. And we will fight you until every ounce of breath in your body, until it's your last. So either find friends, which we know you don't have, or it will be 3-on-1.
Believe in the Shield. Mm. They dropped the camera.
Yeah. I did actually, this was the most menacing they've ever looked.
Fair enough.
I thought
yeah.
It was actually kind of cool seeing them not be smiley, but a little pissed off.
As they walked off, you saw the red hoodie person follow them.
Yes.
So the red hoodie is still following.
Still a thing.
Yeah.
Reveal it at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, sure.
I think.
Yeah, why not?
We then see, similar to the video package we had last week with Kaden and Katana, we had it this time with Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, where they're both sat down kind of talking about why they're together and why they're friends. And most interestingly, we get a video from the PC from about a year and a half ago where Zoe is basically leading like a training session, like a warm up or something.
Yeah.
And Triple H is saying to Nikita, look, you're new here. A year ago, Zoe was the one in your position and now she's leading this thing. So like basically pointing her like she's a good one to look out for and that could be you. And I think we were kind of complaining last week, like, why are these two together?
Yeah. I guess they were just waiting to show this video, or they just found this footage now. Yeah. But, like, if there was a connection, I think they should have established that way earlier.
I felt we said the same thing last week with Kaden and Katana, where we were like, that video was great, but could have maybe done with it earlier.
Yeah.
I felt the same here. But at least now I understand a bit more why these two are together. And it's kind of also, Nikita in this video is like, she's trying to get Lyons a bit more out of her shell, who's a bit more, like, reserved.
They're trying to do the, like, odd couple thing here, too. Like, oh, well, like, I'm more reserved, and we're trying to get that fight out of you. And you're, like, more like a lion. And I didn't hate it because they actually showed that footage of them in Triple H. And I'm like, that's all you needed to do, like, a little while ago. But cool.
I think the match could be pretty good.
Yeah, I think so, too. So
definitely Zoe.
I'm being positive on it. Yeah.
We see Quincy Elliott
hanging out with security. Hank. The whole group
with
of
the security guys.
We got Man Bun security. We got the other.
It's the same guys. I like this.
I love this crew. This is great. Quincy's fit here. I mean, he's wearing like a white. I don't know what these hats are called. Someone please let me know where I can get this hat. You put it over your head and connect it under your chin. It's a look.
So they've just been standing, watching the TV, watching this segment with Zoe and Nikita. And they're like, wow, those two have chemistry.
That's chemistry.
And Hank thanks Quincy last week for having his back with Zion Quinn and says, you know, I've got yours. If ever you need help, like, I got your back. And Quincy goes, well, thank you, Hanky. And then leaves. And all the security are like, ooh, Hanky.
Well, he slaps him.
Slaps his bum. And then all the security are like, now that's chemistry.
True chemistry.
I love this. I love that the security who you normally picture as your, you know, tough, mean.
Yeah.
Like manly men.
Truck driving.
Are like best friends with the super diva Quincy.
Yeah,
I think it's great fit.
Yeah, I think this is a great story, the angle that they're mixing them together.
I love in like TV shows and stuff. You know, when you've got the basically the extras, but they've been there forever and then one episode they finally have lines.
Yeah.
There was this guy in EastEnders, one of the soap operas, who was just always at the bar and never really said anything. And then one episode, like, suddenly had a bit. And you're like, oh, I love they've done that with security. Because how long have we talked about jobber cops?
Yeah.
And now it's like,
now they have
their actual characters.
Yeah. Bless them.
I think it's pretty cool.
Bless all the jobber cops and security people. But I like the fact that they're hanging out with Quincy and, like, they're on the same side.
Yeah.
I like it.
We go to Wesley versus Stax, Channing Lorenzo.
I keep forgetting he's got a real name.
Yeah.
or real, you know what I mean, name. What is it? Channing?
Channing Lorenzo.
Channing Stax Lorenzo.
Lorenzo, what a stupid name.
Lorenzo. Our friend Sino has a kid named Lorenzo. Yeah. Shout out Lorenzo. Stax. He should name his kids. We're going to call his kids Stax now. Yeah. If I ever become a wrestler, I'll call myself Snacks.
Staxino.
Staxino?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I go by Snacks.
Snacks?
Call me that.
Call my kid Three Dimes.
Three Dimes?
Three Dimes.
30.
Yeah. Stax is on top of Wes for a lot of the top of the match. Applies like an Indian deathlock to Wes here.
Yeah.
Wes starts to fight back with some forearms and then a really quick running uppercut in the corner. But Wes seems to tweak his knee. And then Stax gets Wes on his shoulders for like the TKO, the swinging neck breaker.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool.
A torture rack neck breaker.
That's
yeah,
right.
Pretty nice.
For a two count. And then Wes goes up to the top and hits the spiral tap. Vic, did he call the move or call Wes the cardiac kid?
He called Wes the cardiac kid, which I don't know if I've heard that before.
Booker T's like,
he didn't get all of that.
Didn't get all of that. One, two, three. Wes wins.
Yeah, Booker didn't like that finish.
We haven't seen a great deal of Stax. He's mainly been in tag and stuff.
Yeah.
I actually thought he didn't look too bad here. I thought he did some nice stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this
Wes Lee's obviously great, but I was impressed with Stax here.
This is a pretty quick match. It's just kind of heating up Wes, I guess, for next week with the little angle to come after this. But yeah, Stax had some cool, impressive stuff, especially for being what I could think of probably the only singles match he's had, at least for a long time. So yeah, he had some cool stuff. It's unfortunate now that he's in this position because it's like, where do we go with... You had three of you, one left, and
well,
now one's
injured. I mean, it could be a,
sink
it could
or swim.
Be a blessing.
Yeah,
you know, like,
it could be. Stax.
After the match, Trick Williams attacks Wes from behind. Oro Mensah runs out for the save, and then Wes hits this big con Hilo, taking out Trick and Mello.
Yeah. So Oro Mensah and Wesley and Hayes are all in the ladder match at
Urban
Havoc. Sino, who hosts Shot in the Dark, which you should listen to every week free on this feed, where he covers all the other wrestling you may or may not watch, he reminded me while watching this tonight that Wes Lee used to have a partner, Lee and Carter. Mm-hmm. Oro Mensah's name used to be Carter in NXT UK.
Oh,
so Lee and Carter back together somehow, some way here. But yeah, Mensah, I forgot.
And then when that guy goes, Nathan Fraser can be his partner.
There you
right?
go. Yeah. Fraser and Lee?
Or Ben Carter.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. There you go.
Or Caden.
Carter, there's a lot of Carters. This ladder match has some like different kind of angles with different guys kind of defending. I would say I know Oro Mensah is pretty good from what we've seen briefly. I would say I know that it's kind of like, hey, just throw this guy a bone, get him kind of over instantly without, he kind of skips the line a little bit being in this match. Whereas after watching Axiom tonight with Ben Carter, Nathan Frazier, I probably would have still preferred him in the match. There's way more heat behind him.
I agree. I think we've had Axiom on. We had him as a kid last year. Do a few matches on NXT. I feel he's been established a bit more on NXT. And nothing against Oro Mensah, but he's just got here.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. I'd have put those two in the match over him, or just make it six. Like we've had so many.
Why
six
not just add them?
Matches.
Yeah, it's kind of
why are we doing five?
The Fab Five, as Booker T, I think, called it.
Yeah. Von Wagner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Von Wagner. Yeah.
Sonya Deville's being interviewed backstage, and she says, Mandy and I may have had our differences in the past, but she's still my best friend. And Gigi and JC are her girls, so therefore they're my girls. And Alba Fire must have been playing with fire too much, as she's burnt a few brain cells. Because going after the greatest women's champion in NXT history is ridiculous. So tell Alba Fire that next week I'll be standing in the ring waiting for her.
Yeah.
And then Gigi and JC are mean to poor Mackenzie.
Nah.
Yeah. I actually thought immediately Sonya just looked right with this group.
Yeah.
I thought
it fits.
It fits. And I thought the feud... Sonya and Mandy's feud is probably the best thing both of them have done.
Mm.
But if you're trying to build the women's tag division, I'd totally put them back together on the main roster.
Mandy and Sonya?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think so. I think it's better for both of them.
Pull them all up as four toxic
trash. Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. I thought Sonya, her promo's really good. I thought she sounded excellent.
I wasn't too big on Sonya's wrestling, but I do think she's a good promo for sure. She looks menacing too. She had to wear this beautiful, she always rocks the black suit, black on black on black suits and ties and everything. She was wearing this getup while wearing that hoodie.
Yeah.
Must have been hot sitting there that whole time. The guy beside her in the crowd was like, what? You were beside me the whole time? It was you. I knew it when someone sat down mysteriously with a hood on the whole match.
Like right down.
And wasn't here the whole time and security let them sit there. What?
Yeah. But no, I thought they looked good together.
Yeah, me too.
And now it's the main event.
Oh.
We're at the hospital and Ivy Nile wheels Roderick Strong to visit. It's visiting hours. He's in a neck brace. He's in a wheelchair. And he's there to see the Creeds.
Oh, man. Roderick. Brandon's, Brandon's having a nice
okay.
time.
Okay.
Roderick Strong.
Live, sorry.
Yeah, shut up. Shut the fuck up. yeah, this is a great visual. I mean, we mentioned matches that you should watch when you miss the show, but I mean, you should go out of your way to watch this. This felt like General Hospital. This felt like Days of Our Lives. Welcome back, Roddy. So Roderick Strong is being wheeled by Ivy, and this visual is just so good. There's music underneath.
There's music.
Sad music.
He's looking, he's sad. Like, not only is he like very hurt, yeah. but he looks like, because he knows he's been an idiot yeah. over the weeks. And he's like, hey, what's up, big brute? And Brutus is there. And Brutus just says, Damon is going to be put in the hospital. And Roddy's like, huh, I'm sure they'll find some space in this place. And Roddy's like, hey, guys, I just want to apologize. I'm the one that brought Damon in. I'm the one who asked you to trust me. And the Creed's like, hey, Roddy, don't worry about it. And a few weeks ago, you know, I would have been right there fighting by your side, but I can't do that. But you can do one thing for me. Win.
Oh.
Because it's Diamond Mine forever. And they all put their hands in. It was so beautiful. This was so funny. I don't think it was meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. So
this was wonderful.
You know how people are like, oh, wrestling, you know, it's like soap opera for men. Yes, this is soap opera for men right here.
It looked, Ivy wheeling Roddy in.
Guess who's back?
It looked like Ivy like is wheeling in her granddad to see the grandchildren here. Yeah. You know, like.
It's so funny. I mean, okay, first of all, I keep saying it's a work. Roddy's working them. Mm. He's not actually injured. He's lying, and he's going to turn on them at the pay-per-view. That could still happen. I still never say never in wrestling because he's acting as if he's so hurt. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever.
We never saw the attack,
yeah,
did we?
We just saw him
we
laying
just saw
there.
Him lying down.
Yeah, so I just – this is so funny. He's – Roddy, bless him. You've heard us talk over the years. He's one of our all-time favorites. But when it comes to like on-screen talking promos and angles, not usually his strong suit. No pun intended, strong, but in the ring, one of the all-time best. I think in the ring, bell to bell, amazing. But he's so, like, you know, you all have that friend who doesn't know he's funny, but man, he's really hilarious, and everyone gets a kick when he's around because he doesn't know. He just gives that vibe. Roddy is that guy. He's just so funny, but he's not trying to be. So that's like, you can't bottle that. There's something there that's just, I just love it. How you doing, big brute? I'm doing fine.
It's like, you know, the enjoyment you get from watching The Room.
Yeah.
Like, no one in that film is trying to be bad, but it's just...
And you know what? The Creed brothers have been good in on-screen angles and acting and promos and stuff like that. This was definitely a step back
for
them.
The way it was shot didn't help.
And didn't
the music
help
underneath didn't help.
Yeah, they're
and
good,
and
but
just
this
the visual of... You see the neck... The neck brace is a heel thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's Batista in the wheelchair. It's like, I'm thinking Johnny Ace in a neck brace. Who's the guy, the ECW guy? Gertner.
Yeah.
It's a heel thing to do.
Yeah.
So to have your baby face in it, it's just, it makes you look like a geek, which I totally think Roddy could
turn on them. Yeah.
And has been with Damon the whole time.
Wow.
But if not, this was so funny.
This was like,
watch this,
yeah,
guys.
Daytime drama.
If you just listen to us and don't watch, sorry, watch this.
It's so
watch
good.
The Axiom match. Like, that's it.
And Ivy's just there like, oh, poor Roddy.
They're all smiling. Deal. Look who it is.
Man, we're definitely rewatching this later because this was a promo for the ages. And we're joshing them here, but these guys are great. We have been in the Diamond Mines corner. I still think these guys will be a big deal in the not just NXT but WWE for sure. And just don't, why would you have music underneath?
I
like sad music that they're in a hospital. It's literally, you're going for this like CW drama. Like, what?
Also the line, oh, there's plenty of space here. I swear, like, all hospitals are always like, we need more beds. We don't have enough beds. Not at this hospital in Florida, yeah. Where I would have thought a Florida hospital would be pretty full.
I feel
he's like, nah, there's loads of beds here. There's plenty of space.
I mean, it's because we're allowed to say hospital now. So they're just saying it and being in a hospital. Wait, we're allowed to say hospital? We're going to film at a hospital, yeah. Which they're probably not even in a hospital. No. But, like, just so funny. And again, the Creed brothers are actually improving in, they're already amazing in the ring, but they're already, like, improving their promos. But this was definitely, like, a stagger for them here because it didn't do them any justice because it's set up like a soap opera angle. So it's just so unintentionally funny that I would definitely go and check out. They've put an edited version on their Twitter, like a minute long mm-hmm. thing or 2 minute long. But they've even made it more dramatic because it's zoomed in on their faces. So it's even more, like, cutting, like, dramatic, like, faces from Roddy in the neck brace and... Oh, man. Ridiculous. If you're looking for a quick, fast Halloween costume, Neck Brace Roddy is up there Roddy. For you, for sure, anyone out there. But highlight of – I mean, I really loved that match earlier, but this had to be the highlight of the show. As soon as – we were, like, mid-conversation, and NXT came back from break, and we just see – we all looked, turned and looked at the screen, and then Ivy just rolling him out, and we went, okay, sit down, strap in, let's go. Did not disappoint.
What up, big brute?
What up, big brute? How you doing? And his face like, I don't know, Roddy.
I don't like seeing you this way.
Oh, man.
We go to Thea Hale versus Kiana James.
The Twitch chat saying we need to give Roddy an Oscar for that thing. I think they're right.
Yeah. Mr. Stone interrupts immediately, gets in the ring, and says he should be celebrating Von Wagner going to Halloween Havoc. But the world is laughing at me because of you, Thea Hale. You had the audacity to slam me, and now I'm going to ruin your night. And he charges at Thea, who backdrops him. She beats him up and kicks him out the ring, but turns, and Kiana hits Hale with this kind of reverse sling blade and gets the win.
Yeah, pretty nothing match, but just the angle of Robert Stone getting slammed again as the crowd chanted. But really, it was a back body drop, but... he just keeps getting beat. It's funny because he's a man getting beat up by a woman, you see. Mm. That's the magic of it.
They're keeping Thea as this character, but they haven't really given her a match yet.
Yeah.
I think we've had her in a mixed where she didn't really do much, but she'll do like a spot, like the slam on Stone and this backdrop here. But it's just interesting use of her. They're keeping her. Obviously, she's like the youngest person they've got in this whole company. Yeah. And they obviously see something in her and want to use her as a character and want her youthfulness to be part of that character. But no, she's probably not ready to actually wrestle a match yet. And I think they've worked it quite a smart way of doing that.
I was joking, but I'm like, I guess Robert Stone has always been in these kinds of things. Like, thinking back, he's always getting beat up by
Shotzi.
Like, the list goes all the way. Yeah. That's his job. So, I mean, yeah, cool.
Didn't Rhea beat him up? Rhea threw him in a dumpster.
Everyone beats him up. He's fine with it. Kiana James, though. She didn't come out with her secretary, Jean.
Mm.
So, that was a shame.
She's at the office. She's getting the calls. No, Kiana's busy right now. She's wrestling.
She was completing the deal about Chase U. Yeah. That was her plan. Get them distracted. So
Tony D'Angelo shows up.
Whoa.
To see Stax. And he's mad that Stax lost to Wesley. He says, "You said it yourself that actions have consequences." And Stax confused. He's like, "You're mad against you're going to put me in another match against Wesley? What's going on?" And he goes, "No. Remember that time in eighth grade when you beat up Ralphie and..."
Stats they lost like, me here too.
Stats is like, "Yeah, that kid had it coming. No one disrespects me like that." And he goes, "Well, next week you're going to have a match against someone." It's Tony's setting up. He's giving like tough love to Stax. And so he's picked him an opponent.
Yeah.
I get the sense we're getting maybe a debut of some big guy or something like that is what I'm imagining. Or maybe someone new to join.
Hank.
Tony. Tony set up a match for Stax next week.
Yeah, wasn't needed. I think we can kind of maybe chill. I know we're trying to give Stax something to do. Tony D is here with the injury, with his leg. But maybe just don't do mystery opponent if it's not... I know this is developmental. We're not saying, you know, big names are coming out. Mm. Like Matt Taven's going to come out or something. But like maybe just go, you know what? You're going to face Sangha next week. Or you're going to face this next week, but instead it's like now we're just going to be instantly like, are you going to debut someone? Is that what you're thinking? Add to the stable of Italians?
I feel like it could be a new person.
Yeah.
Maybe a big guy.
I guess.
Because Tony could do with like
a muscle.
A big, yeah, a heater sort of person.
True.
Yeah, I wonder who it is. Someone in the Twitch chat pointed when we were going off on Booker T, like, put Tony D on commentary, maybe. Yeah. Like, instead, like, this is developmental. Why does, like, we've said before, like, it's as much developmental for your, like, announcers and stuff as it is. And I like that they've done that with, like, in AEW when you've had, like, Ricky Starks or whoever. I'm not saying Ricky Starks is a great commentator, but to give someone some presence on the show and get some reps under them, I'd take someone like a Tony D trying out over Booker.
Got you, yeah.
You know? Backstage, Von Wagner tells Mr. Stone to calm down and cut the bullshit. He says, I need you to make sure no one stops me from grabbing that championship at Halloween Havoc. Mr. Stone apologizes and says, sometimes old habits creep up, but I won't stop you from being champion.
Damn. Cut the bullshit.
He's like, yeah, sometimes I'm a loser. I forget.
I like Von Wagner when he's swearing and being a complete badass.
He's the one that gets the shit like most weeks, isn't he?
You could say Von Wagner brings the shit every week. Yeah, you could say that. He's just put him on the main roster. He's already doing the main event. Future WWE World Champion Von Wagner.
So Cameron Grimes says it felt so good to cost the Dyad their opportunity tonight, and says there's no one in NXT he trusts, but there are people in WWE he trusts. So
it's all mystery opponents.
Teasing, we're going to have a mystery tag come to partner him.
Yeah, who's going to team with Grimes? I can think of good guy tag teams. The New Day.
New Day.
I don't even know who else is going on right now. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Brawling Brutes.
Yeah, we've kind of just seen them. Like,
yeah. The Viking Raiders?
Are they?
They're chilling. They're heels. Oh, they have promos going on for them though. I don't know. I don't know.
Who else is there?
I don't know. It's all mystery people. Was this for the pay per view then?
No, this is next week.
So next week we're getting two opponents we don't know yet. Another opponent for Stacks we don't know yet, and two people joining.
Yeah, it's Bryce. Cool.
Mystery week.
Yeah.
Mystery Tuesday next week.
Exactly.
Wow.
Who's that Pokemon? Maximum male models.
Yeah. True.
I don't know.
I don't think he would trust them. They're bad
guys. Yeah, maybe Hit Row?
Hit Row? I don't know. Legado? Maybe. That doesn't make
Legado
sense.
Legado just.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Pour one out. I mean, we knew that was going to happen, but Legado showing up on SmackDown was with awesome. Zelina. With Zelina, yeah. Pour one out for Alexa Lopez, I guess, apparently. Damn. But that's fantastic.
Does SmackDown not know that Alexa Lopez raises business?
Brought up 18%? 18% would go up on Fox if they had her, but instead they got Zelina.
I know.
I know, kind of side note here, but Legado on SmackDown is something that is super hype, and I can't wait for people to... But I know they'll get over it. All three of those guys have earned their stripes through NXT and before that, but now as a unit with Zelina, I think... That could really get over. I'm really hyped about that. I don't know what other tag teams could help. Obviously, we think the Hardy Boys just because it's Grimes, but I don't think that's the team coming down for Grimes. No.
And we go backstage to Cora Jade, who says that she spoke to Rhea Ripley, who wants her to show up on Raw on Monday. Mm. So I think we're getting, Cora will show up on Raw this week to pick her opponent, Roxanne's opponent, and Roxanne's going to show up on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So we talked about the possible SmackDown people for Cora, who could be the possible Raw people.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Io Shirai versus Roxanne Perez, but I don't know necessarily if that will be the pick. But
you've got Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Bayley, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae, Carmella, Dakota Kai, Dana Brooke, Doudrop, Io Sky, Nikki A.S.H., Rhea Ripley, Tamina.
I'm not sure. It could be Rhea, actually.
I called Tamina last week just to have a big person.
Maybe Cora's bluffing. She joked about Roxanne not having any connections, and now she's like, oh no, I literally don't. So she'll be like begging someone, and then it'll be like, Tamina. Or no, Natalia.
Natalia again?
Cora's tricking her. she's saying, yeah, I'm going to Raw, but then Natalia will attack Roxanne and be like, oh, because remember the history with Corin thing?
The future looks bleak.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Just book Natalia every week. Yeah. Just do that.
She's a draw.
Yeah. Exactly. The boat.
Yeah, I'm going to say Tamina.
Match-wise, I want to see Io versus Roxanne.
Yeah, well, Dakota could be cool.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
Any of those. Yeah. Yeah, damage control is awesome.
We go to our main event. It's Ilya Dragunov taking on Grayson Waller. Ilya hits this nice spinning back fist, followed by a senton. Waller comes back with a cheap shot to the throat, followed by his big leg lariat. He then does the Booker T hand gesture whilst looking at Booker, then tells him to suck it. And I feel you can tell when Booker is like genuinely pissed off by something, and he did not look happy.
He did not like that.
There's then some dirty chops from Dragunov, followed by this jumping Gamangiri. Waller then punches Dragunov in the eye. So he's still keeping with that eye stuff.
How can Waller see without wearing his goggles?
His eyes were fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then does this cartwheel kick to the back of the head. Waller then hits his second rope elbow drop, the like ball through the legs thing, which Booker was like, I like that. He nice. Liked that. Waller's then like delivering these elbows to the back of the head, goes for a sleeper, but Dragunov throws him off. And then Waller strings Dragunov up on the top rope, goes to the outside, and is setting up for his running somersault stunner.
That's right, the move you have to go outside the ring to hit.
Yeah, when the lights start to flicker and the wheel starts to spin.
That's right, the Halloween Havoc wheel is there, but it starts to spin on its own.
Yeah.
It's a ghost.
So then this kind of distracts him, and he runs for his stunner, but Dragunov catches him with two Germans. This looked great, actually,
great spot here.
Two Germans, and then does his like sort of pump handle German Crazy. Suplex, followed by the Torpedo Moscow for the win.
Yeah, you could tell Ilya was just murdering him, and then when Waller had stuff, it looked really weak because you just had this guy like chopping him sentons and all this stuff. But I did really like that ending sequence where he slides in the ring, does the roll, and then props himself up in the air, but instead German suplex.
Yeah,
it was just
really
so
nice.
Good.
The timing was great.
It's just unfortunate that we got such classic WWE shit ahead of that with, what? The wheel? The lights? What's going on?
I thought you could have at least had the wheel land on what their match is going to be.
Yeah, true.
You know, it would distract more. Be like, oh, I'm going to be in a coal miner's glove match. Ah,
sounds
oh,
sick.
Oh, I'm
huh?
in a match. Yeah.
Not so sick now.
Yeah, I felt you could have, like, I guess this is saying they're going to have a spin the wheel, make the deal match.
You didn't even have the reveal of Apollo, like, it was me. No, it's just ghosts.
It's ghosts.
It's Apollo's visions. It's just really weird. Really, really hokey just to be hokey and not in a kind of good way, I thought, but. It had some cool stuff in the match. Shout out Waller for hanging with Ilya.
Ilya's stuff looked great.
Yeah,
I didn't mind Waller's elbows to the back. I know we always gave Cross shit because his looked weak. I actually didn't think they looked too bad, and I do think he does some nice stuff. Dragunov's in a different league.
I mean Ilya. Ilya coming to NXT is not definitely all the dream matches we wish we could see him have. Waller would not be high on that list, but we got to see it here anyways. It wasn't that bad, but it definitely it wasn't the match of the night.
And to end the show, Bron Breakker comes out and just spears Dragunov out of his skin. Clearly pissed by that headbutt.
Damn, and then rips his shirt open and goes, "I'm the man." Essentially,
Bron.
And then we get the classic. The one good thing from Booker tonight, after this huge spear, shucky ducky, quack, quack, deserved it. Booker, you nailed your one line, and you nailed it because that spear was great as NXT
Terrible.
Went off the air with Braun standing strong. That was a great spear. This classic broken record of us, but mixed bag of NXT, when you get some awesome wrestling, and I mean that Axiom Nathan Frazier match was outstanding. Would definitely recommend go checking that out. There was some other good wrestling, but there was also just a lot of stuff that I could not care about, like some of the extra matches. Why do we have so many matches when some of them go 30 seconds, some of them go 2 minutes? Like, can we not just trim the fat here and make things actually like quality over quantity can definitely help this show.
I agree. This is also developmental, so they want to give these people
the reps.
TV time.
Like,
the reps
what does anyone gain from, what does a Thea Hale gain from backdropping Robert Stone and then turning around and getting pinned. She doesn't learn how to wrestle doing that. Mm. So it's just, there's still so much stuff. I know we love the Diamond Mine, but definitely got to give it to him for making us chuckle with that General Hospital shit. I mean, Roddy in the neck brace speaks for itself. I now want to see the turn because it's even funnier. It's even making it like I was acting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be funnier if he goes, I fooled you. How did you believe it that I was acting this way? It's like, oh, yeah, you saw it.
I'm a terrible actor.
Yeah, I'm not a good actor.
I'm a terrible actor. How did you buy that,
Diamond Mine? What the fuck? I think Ivy leaves with him.
Oh, yeah?
I think she goes with Damon
Kemp. Fucking?
Kayfabe-wise?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I think she's just helping Diamond.
Doesn't that make it juicier?
Yeah, of course. But, like, I think Creeds will be on their own without Diamond Mines. Maybe.
I definitely prefer this to last week's show. I thought last week's was pretty weak. I really like that. That Fraser Axiom match is one of the best NXT matches we've had for quite a while, yeah. I thought. And I actually really enjoyed the triple threat tag. I thought that was pretty fun. And the Diamond Mine stuff was great.
Pretty
and the Sonya thing. I was into Sonya coming out as well.
Yeah.
As you said, mixed bag, but I thought this was stronger than we've had for the last few weeks.
And then they have announced that Waller versus Apollo will happen at Halloween Havoc as well. So I'm wondering if that will be some sort of spin the wheel match, but they've just announced it as a singles match. So we got Roxanne versus Cora in a Weapons Wild. We got Mandy, Alba possibly in the singles match, and Julius versus Damon in an ambulance match. And then the ladder match, and then the triple threat. So it's looking like a well-shaped card. Definitely the main event still has my attention there, because that should be pretty sweet. But yeah, some okay stuff here on NXT. Really got into some of that wrestling. Axiom and Nathan Frazier. I think Frazier should win that ladder match. That'll be pretty awesome. That was NXT.
That was next.
That was next.
That's our other show. That's a different show.
Patreon.
So. As we said at the beginning, come and join us tomorrow night. Sneaky D's from 11 p.m. after Dynamite. It's just a very easy streetcar up Bathurst from the venue. Come join us there. It's going to be a blast. Get your tickets for the New Jersey show if you're in the area. They go on sale probably now as you're listening to this. You can get that. And go support us, patreon.com/upnext.
Yeah, hey, we do this podcast every Tuesday night chatting about NXT. We usually go live every Wednesday. However, tomorrow night for BD Elite, we won't be doing it live because we're going to be at Dynamite. We're also going to Rampage. So we'll record something on the Thursday chatting about Dynamite. And then next week, is it a Super Tuesday of Dynamite and NXT?
Is that next week or the week? It's next week?
Is it next week?
Right, okay.
I think it's next week. Therefore, I'm calling it now. We'll probably just do a combined show and chat about a little bit about both. So how about we go and do a show on Wednesday during the day sometime, somehow. So look for Upnext/BD Elite next week, covering both Upnext and some Dynamite. So look for that. We will be chatting about it. And then Halloween Havoc. I will be going live with Andrew Thompson, post-wrestling, the legend. We can't wait to chat about some Halloween Havoc we'll be going live and recording that on that Saturday. So all the other podcasts, go check us out, guys. $5 is all it takes, and you get access to almost 500 podcasts, spooky movie reviews, wrestling pay-per-view, retro reviews, retro NXT reviews. Everything is on there. It all goes into your RSS feed. There's a link to get into your podcast app. It's so easy, and it's only $5, and you get a month's worth of content, and you get access to everything we've ever done. So go check us out and support your boys. And if you are coming out to hang out, we can't wait to see you post-wrestling over everything. Can't wait. Newark, baby.
The best way to find where we are is by joining the Up Next Facebook group. If you're in the Toronto area, if you want to hang out over the next couple of days,
DM's open.
Join the Up Next group on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. At Up Next Podcast, and myself, Brady, the Brady. The Bray D Twitter and Instagram, I should say.
I am Davey Portman at Davey Portman, I should say. Davey Portman at...
Oh, shucky ducky, quack, quack! Thank you guys for listening. We absolutely love you. Take care, goodbye, be safe.
Ahoy!